Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Dr. Tim Clinton, and today I'm going to continue our conversation that I began yesterday with David and Steve Green. David and his wife Barbara founded Hobby Lobby in 1972 that started as a family operation manufacturing picture frames in their garage in Oklahoma City. Now, over 50 years later, Hobby Lobby is the largest privately owned arts and craft retailer in the world with over 1,000 stores and 46,000 employees. God truly used their humble beginnings for His glory. And today, we're going to dive a little deeper into their story. To listen to part one and part two together, just go to oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com and type in Clinton, C-L-I-N-T-O-N. The Greens, they're an amazing family. Steve and David have an incredible testimony and practical advice for anyone looking to steward what God has given to them in life and in business. Let's rejoin them now. Yesterday, we talked a lot about the early days of Hobby Lobby and the seeds of faith and family and so much more that set the table for this work to develop and to flourish. I saw a quote over the fireplace in here that caught my eye. I think it's a C.T. Studd quote that says, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." I think that's a pretty strong statement at Hobby Lobby, isn't it?
You know, I think it's strong for Hobby Lobby, and I think it's also strong for our family. You know, that was in our home when I was growing up as a preacher's kid, and that was my parents. That was their attitude, not just that saying, but their lives were about that, that our life is like a vapor. Sometimes I tell people, you know, we all have two lives, a vapor life and eternal life. So what do you want to spend most time on, you know? And that's what we want to spend most time on lives is your eternal life. Vapor life, we spend time there providing water to the homeless, all these sort of things. But it's so important for us to know that our life is short. It goes back to what I've said earlier, and that is there's only two things that's eternal, and that's God's word and man's soul. So sometimes I know that I got that from my parents, things that are eternal versus temporal.
one thing I'm going to walk away from here with in my heart is the significance of family, how you have pulled generations together. And Steve, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
It is. And I remember when I got married and we were starting to have our kids and growing a family, that the idea that our most important ministry, our very first calling that God has given to me and my wife, is to raise godly generations.
And as a family, you guys are so firm in your commitment to Christ and your faith that you were not afraid to take a stand, even if it was going to cost you everything. David, I'd like you to take us back for a moment to the religious liberty infringement challenge that came with the Affordable Care Act and what happened.
Yeah, our attorneys told me that in our insurance policies, when we re-upped our policy and insurance, that in that would have to be 4 prescriptions that would actually take life. You know, we believe life begins at conception. And so we knew that we couldn't do that. And it had already been said that there would be a penalty. And based on the number of employees that we had, we did the math on that. So had we not provided these contraceptive, it would have cost us $1.3 million a day. That was the penalty. And so it was that's where we were. And we were either going to have to provide these 4 prescriptions that would take life, or we would pay 1.3, and that's where we were. So we brought the family together, because there's 4 generations now, but we brought in 3 generations, everybody that was 16 and older, and we just said, here's where we are and what should we do. And it was really great to know that all 3 generations said, we're not going to take life under any circumstances.
And I know we're mentioning this, but Steve, I don't think people probably understand the seriousness of this challenge to you all. And in that moment, what was going on in your mind? I mean, I'd be up at 2 and 3 in the morning wanting to throw up, you know, trying to figure out what are we going to do?
Yeah. Well, and the serious implications of this decision, that the fines were not sustainable. That was part of the discussion. And what can we do? But part of the discussion as well was what were the options if we were to draw the line in the sand and say, we will not be a part of taking life. That's the decision. We were unanimous, and we will just trust God for whatever the outcome is. But whatever the outcome, we know we were in good hands.
We had a big highway sign across the street, huge highway sign. And on it, it said, our God has said that exact same thing.
Really?
And I'm always sorry that I didn't put, but if not. Because we had already decided, but if not, we're not going to take life under any circumstances.
I'm looking at a picture in the room we're in. It looks to me like you're on the steps is that the state?
Supreme Court steps.
Supreme Court steps.
We just finished hearing the oral argument of the case, and it was a snowy day, and we're coming down the steps, getting ready to make a few comments to the press.
You have to see my wife's face on that, because that's what's most interesting, because we were told that there's going to be all these people, the haters, that's going to scream and holler at us that we hate women and things like that. But instead of that, we heard a chanting, yay, Hobby Lobby, yay, Hobby Lobby. So my wife in that picture, her thumbs up, smiling real big. So God had delivered us from all of that junk that someone says we're going to, and it was there. But that's not what we heard coming out of those steps.
And as you were alluding to, everywhere we were going, we were, you know, going around, you know, speaking for different reasons. Everywhere we went, people were saying they were praying for us. And we owe a debt of gratitude to people all over our nation. We were probably the most prayed for family, and we're so grateful for the prayers that so many did make for us.
You know, I have to admit that I was really a basket case when I saw that we could lose our business, because we were not going to fold in terms of taking life. And I was a basket case at first, and I have to admit it. But then Barbara and I both, very soon thereafter, was 100% in peace. And I said, why did that happen, that we were in such peace? And I think it was 2 reasons. One is, you know, in business, I'm always having to make decisions, and every decision has a 60-40, and it has a positives and negatives. And we think about that all the time, because I'm making decisions and nothing's 100-0. But as Barbara and I talked about this and the family, we said, this is a 100-0. It's a 100. There isn't a 99-1. This is wrong to take life. And that helped us. And the other thing that helped us, as Steve said, was so many people praying for us. And with those two things, Barbara and I think the family could say, we were at perfect peace when we knew that we could lose this company.
That paved the way, by the way, all that effort to a decision that went in your direction. And I wanted to ask you about this very issue of Christians in culture making a difference, standing bold. It's not easy, and people are kind of spinning, but there's a stirring. I really believe there's a stirring going on among people everywhere saying it's time not to be silent, but to be a voice of reason and fidelity to our God. Can you just speak what's in your heart about that very issue?
One of the things that I feel like that I have learned is if we want God's blessing, then we have to do things that's going to cost us. I can name you at least 10 different things, and I may name you a couple, three, that cost us money. Almost everything that when you take a stand costs, and you have to be willing to take that cost. When we sued the government, it hurt our business. We had people picketing. And when God asks us to close on Sunday, it cost. You know, and I wasn't brave enough to shut them all down in 1 month. And so one month after the other, I would close them. But people would say, God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. I didn't see it. I didn't see it on the profit sheets. I didn't see it on the sales sheets. When God asked us to stop selling Halloween, it cost us. So I can name you about 10 or 12 things in every case almost. When you look at the dollar and cent, it costs. I think that's what God wants. He doesn't want us to do things because we're going to get a prize. But on the other hand, in the bigger picture of things, He has blessed us beyond anything you could even imagine.
Amen.
You tell a story about how that when you started putting the newspaper ads in, that you were reading your own text and how that God touched you there.
Yeah, he's talking about when God asked us to close on Sundays, and I just wasn't brave enough to do that. And so I started with Nebraska, where we had 4 stores. And one of the papers picked it up and called our CFO, what you going to do? And he said, well, our CEO says if this goes well, we're going to close the stores. I'm actually reading my own, you know. And so God's saying, oh, you're going to be obedient if it works financially for you? And I said, no, God, we're going to close them all.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, and my guests today are none other than David Green, founder and CEO of Hobby Lobby, and his son, Steve Green, president of the largest privately owned arts and craft retailer in the world. The company has over 46,000 employees and operates in all 48 continental United States. Let's return to them now.
I want to go to another facet of Hobby Lobby, and that's the generosity side. Everywhere I go, I've talked to ministry leaders. They know you. David and Steve Green and Mart and Darcy and the whole family, Miss Barbara. And you have blessed and touched so many ministries through the years in so many ways. Part of that goes back to a stewardship issue and the lessons you learned early on that you've passed on, David, to your children. I know, Steve, it's in his heart because of what I've seen him do. And I heard that like you tither, you give back 50% of your earnings to the Lord. Is that true?
It is. And I was overseeing our accounting department years ago. And I remember thinking, you know, we grew up being taught to tithe, and we did personally. We saw our parents doing that. And I was curious if we did that as the business. And as I calculated, I saw that we weren't and thought, yeah, it'd be good for us to do more in our giving. And it was about that same time when Dad and my brother at a church were inspired to give to a particular ministry. And we came up with this 5-year plan to give to the ministry in a significant amount. And it would take some significant giving. And so as I continued to track our giving, we quickly started giving up to the 10%, and then we exceeded the 10%. And I remember tracking, I wonder if we'll be able to make up for some lost time. And we quickly did as our giving continued to escalate. And we continued to escalate till a day when we said, let's just go ahead and give half of our profits away. And made that decision many years ago, and we have been able to do that. And it's exciting to be able to be a part. And when you know that you're coming in and giving half your profits, it just says, I want to make as much profits as I can, because I know half of it's going to serve eternal purposes.
I'm holding in my hand a book titled is Giving It All Away and Getting It All Back Again, written by David Green and Bill High, who I had the privilege of meeting not long ago. But David, in there, you talk about how this all started, and the seeds go back to your mom, really. And
yeah.
I know you shared just a little bit of that yesterday,
right.
But could you just recast that for us?
Yeah, I think that my mom and my dad, you know, in their whole life, and how they loved to give and how important it was for them to do things that would be eternal. My mom would crochet little dollies, you know, and maybe she would only get a dollar for them, you know, but I remember one time my dad says, we're giving to mission. She says, but I want to give my own money. She wanted to create some dollars of her own, and it would only be a dollar or two that she would do that. But that's the heart that she had. You know, God's not impressed with our numbers. He's not impressed at all. He's impressed with our heart. And we have a real heart to serve him. And that's what he looks at. And that's what we want to make sure, that our heart is right, that what we do it for a reason. And that is to see people come to know Christ.
That really has stirred in my heart since I've been thinking about it, that I want my family to understand the vision or the mission that we're called to. And money can be a real blessing, and it can be a real curse. It can put a lot of chains on you. And the love of money, as Paul said, destroys a lot of people. And so balancing all that, that's got to be a challenge.
Well, it is a challenge, and we've asked God, and he has led us. I believe he's led us, and I think our family is very, very comfortable where we are with this incredible amount of wealth. Generally, wealth in a family has a better chance, do the survey on it, of messing the family up than it does helping them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge percent that it really messes up. And so we knew that, and there was times that we know that the Holy Spirit talked to us about how to handle this wealth. And basically, we feel like there's three things that you need to do in wealth. And that is the stock. What do you do with the stock? And what do you do with the salaries? And what do you do with the say? Who has the say? And so those are the three things that we're really focused on and asking God to lead us on. The stock is already taken care of. It's in trust that no one can touch, because all of the voting stock is with the family. The salary is good because we have a committee that decides my salary and everybody else, so you can't argue there. And then the last piece we're still involved in, and that's the say, who's on the committees for the say. So if you can get those three things right, but if any one of those are wrong, you're messed up, and you have a better chance of being messed up than you do having it right. But I feel like God has led us in how to handle those three areas.
I wrote down in my notes, the real mission or vision here is to teach our family to love God intimately and to give extravagantly. That was moving to me.
Yeah, when you see how Christ sums up the law and the prophets, he says it's all summed up in two things, love God and love your neighbor. And that's the way we say it. We want to love God intimately. It's not just on a surface level, but a real relationship, which is ultimately what God wants. God wants a relationship with you and me. And we want our family to realize that we want them to have that relationship with their God and Savior. And then that leads us to be loving to our fellow man, which is shown through generosity. So if we can love extravagantly, then we feel like we've done what God's called us to do.
We're fighting the clock here, but I've got to get this piece in. I'm holding in my hand something that's precious to us all. It's the Bible, God's Word. And part of Hobby Lobby's efforts included a calling, a mission to create the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. Tell us a little bit about that. I know you opened back in 2017. Where it's at, where it's going, it's spectacular.
Yeah, we were, I lovingly say God tricked us into it, because it wasn't something that we were planning on doing. But as a group asked our help to putting in a Bible museum, it led us to get involved, and it became our project over after a series of events. And so we were looking in three cities, New York City, Washington, D.C., and Dallas, and it showed that it would be best attended in D.C., so we focused there. And We look at the Bible in three ways: the Bible's history, its impact, and its narrative. Those are the three core floors within the museum. We have the Vatican has some space. The Israel Antiquity Authority has some space. We have restaurant and temporary exhibits and all the things that a museum would have. And it's done world-class level, because this is a book that's changed our world. And we want to highlight this book, invite people to engage with this book. So it's just been an exciting venture that God took the family on, and I got to be the point person for the family on that. And we saw God going before us time and time again through our mistakes. God was there guiding and directing us, and it's been exciting for me and my wife to be a part of.
David, I heard you say that the two most important things are this book and a man's soul. And I'm thinking, you know, as I go back, you know, people go to Washington and go to Air and Space Museum, et cetera. You know, I mean, they want to see the Capitol. They want to go to Arlington Cemetery. They need to go see the museum, the Bible. It is unbelievable. Artifacts from everywhere. And it is about who we are and how we will live out our life. I'm reminded of Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein both day and night. For then thou shalt be prosperous, and then you'll have good success. And I think of that, what is it, Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you, God. It's his manual for life. And I so love that you're so dedicated and committed to it. You know, as we go, I wanted to ask you this, and before you go, as you look back and you look at the road forward or the years ahead of you, what's in your heart? What keeps you up at night, and what are you praying for?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think we just want to be faithful with what God has given us, and we just want to do more of it. The Bible says, delight thyself in his heart, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And so I just want to do that. So I have my desires is that God takes me while I'm working. I don't want to not work. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to do what God has allowed us to do to this far, and just do more of it that I can do. And so that's what I'm excited about.
You know, it reminds me of my dad. My dad said, Tim, I love to live, and I'm going out with my boots on.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what he said. Steve, I want to pass it to you. What about you? Your parting thoughts and words here.
It's similar. Just want to do what God wants us to do. Don't want to get ahead of God or get behind God. I don't want God saying, why aren't you doing what I've called you to do? Or getting ahead of God, thinking that I know where he's taking me, but be sensitive and be led by God. There's a lot of opportunities that our family has been given, and it takes a lot of prayer and just saying, God, guide and direct us and help us to be right where you want us to be. And knowing that we make mistakes regularly, God helps get us back on path and say, nope, that's not what you're supposed to do. Move over here and get back on the road, and doing the best we can to raise our family and to pass that on to them, to take the baton as we're leaving this life, because as wow. I said, it's a vapor. We're all going to be gone shortly.
My mind is going to 2 Chronicles 29:36. Hezekiah, who, by the way, prayed for some extra years, you know that?
Yeah.
Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced at what God had brought about for his people, because it was done so quickly. And I'll add the word faithfully.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.